Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. Each weekday here on GCN, I strive to expose the beguiling and destructive myths associated with religion and politics, with patriotism and the media, with military and economic schemes. Instead of merely presenting the news, our mission here is to help you understand what is occurring behind the headlines. Then, during our second hour, we will engage God on His terms by way of His one and only covenant, and through His always dependable Torah teaching, so that with His guidance, you'll be able to replace your religion with reason and engage in a relationship with Him. Our phone number, if you'd like to question or affirm anything I or our guest today, who is Craig Smith, has to say over the next hour or two, is 877-300-7645. It is always my pleasure to introduce Craig Smith. He is one of this program's favorite guests. I get more positive email on Craig's appearances on the show than anyone else. He is the founder and chairman of Swiss America. You'll find him at buygold.com, which is sage advice. Over the next hour, Craig, who I think is the nation's most knowledgeable, rational, and articulate spokesperson on the economy, is going to demonstrate that owning gold is among the only viable options because America is failing, I would say dying. Craig Smith is the author of a great number of books on the U.S. economy, its history, and current status, the most recent of which is The Great Debasement, which I have enjoyed reading. Since our last program together was devoted to the realization that the current recession was not caused by bankers, but was instead caused by government mismanagement and manipulation of business in general, and, of course, of the financial sector specifically. Today I have some questions for Craig. All of these questions are designed really to determine, to ascertain the magnitude of the problem we currently face. Good morning, Craig. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Thank you for your gracious introduction.
Oh, it's well-deserved. You are really enjoyable to have on this program because you've done your homework, you're relentlessly logical, and you have the facts at your disposal. I mean, you are one of the few people that, no matter the question, has an answer that is pertinent, and you're speaking on a subject, in my view, Craig, that is probably more central to America's either demise or failure than any other. And in my view, the thing that is most germane to building America has been business. And now that we have, as a nation, turned against business, I think we're killing the very thing that is capable of restoring the nation.
Well, you couldn't be more right. I mean, free markets and the capitalist approach to those markets have been the, shall we say, the envy of the world. I mean, everybody wants to be what we used to be. And quite frankly, we're starting to become something we were never designed to be. And it's interesting how you mentioned that it's the biggest challenge and the biggest, quite frankly, threat that we have is what's going on in our businesses. Even Admiral Mike Mullins himself, the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said the single biggest threat to our national security is our debt. And correct. Every American knows it, Yada. Nobody's immune from understanding this. And soon, I think the White House is going, you know, facts, as you said earlier, facts are a stubborn thing. Mm-hmm. And then this administration is finally being faced with the facts by the Washington Post and people like Bob Woodward. And I think it's going to be the rubber hitting the road. That's why last time we talked, we were both delighted to hear there was going to be a sequester. It's about time we start to force government to cut spending. And if they have to do it with a hatchet, so be it. If they want to do it with a scalpel, so be it. But it needs to be done.
Yeah, the last time that we talked in favor of it, though, we were also hopeful that we were going to get a large portion of Americans that are no longer paying any tax at all brought back on the tax rolls. And, of course, that didn't happen. It happened indirectly through the payroll tax, but on a broad base, they locked in a policy that would prevent the majority of Americans from paying any tax. And you well, this is primarily a spending problem. You can't have half of the people contributing nothing and expect to prevail.
Absolutely. Ben Franklin said it well when he said, when the people find that they can vote themselves money, that will herald the end of the republic. And yes, that's really what's happened. And when you know, I don't know if you caught the Romney interview.
Yeah.
You know, they held him to his comment about 47% of Americans will vote for him because they get something along those lines. There's
right.
really a truth. There's really a truth to that, Yoder. What's the old saying?
Yeah.
If Paul robs Peter, okay, Paul will always get your vote. You know, especially
right.
if he gives it to you. So,
yes,
I'm really yeah. hopeful, Yada, that we are at the point where it's really going to start to change now. I can only hope and pray it does, because if it doesn't, I think you know, as a businessman, what the outcome is going to be. It's going to be very ugly going forward.
Yeah, we have, I have said 15 to 20 years. You've said we may have 10, but it's somewhere in the 10 to 20 years left. Let's start, since I happen to concur that the greatest threat to America right now is its debt. And it does not matter what size of a military we have. As a matter of fact, our military is contributing to our debt. It does not matter. Our debt will destroy us if we do not do something radical and immediately to resolve the problem. So first question for you, Craig, is how large is the U.S. debt?
Well, it depends upon how you calculate it. If you want to look at long-term liabilities that we're on the hook to pay, you could argue it's as high as $118 trillion. I've heard the number even as high as $150 trillion. Quite frankly, nobody knows, including our Secretary of the Treasury, which is a frightening prospect. But everybody knows the initial debt that we currently have that has to be rolled over at a maximum of every 5 years is $16.7 trillion. And
yes.
Donna, you know what's amazing to me? We're talking about trillions. I mean, that should be distances between planets in the universe, not amount
Correct.
Of dollars that we owe in the form of debt. And I don't think the average American, you know, their eyes gloss over when they hear this $100 billion. I mean, I remember a time when I was a kid joking about it. When I grow up, I'm going to be a trillionaire. You know, now there's a possibility you may be able to be one.
Yeah, I know, it's funny. $16.7 trillion, by the way, which is really not the the U.S. Debt. We will speak why it's a much larger number in a moment, is $54,000 per capita. That includes children. And it is now over 100% of GDP, is it not?
Well, yes, absolutely. A little bit, I think, it's what, 105%, 110%,
right.
something like that. Again, it depends upon how you look at the numbers. And you just said something that's so important, and I hope America just heard what you said. That means every person, man, woman, and child, owes $54,000. We keep thinking of the government as a special entity. We,
yeah.
the people, are the government. And what we don't know, people say, well, it doesn't matter to me. I don't have $54,000 to pay. They'll find a way to get you to pay it,
yeah.
whether it be putting you to work for it or whether it be stealing it from you through devaluation of your currency.
Right.
They will find a way to get that money from you. And keep
yeah.
in mind, Yada, countries don't go bankrupt. The people of the country go bankrupt. When Germany
right.
fell apart, it destroyed the citizens. The German government was still there.
Right. Yeah, as a matter of fact, what ends up happening under these circumstances is that your country does one of three things. It becomes socialistic, where everybody pays for it because you become slave labor. It becomes fascist, which is another form of slave labor. But more than just the government prospers under a fascist system, so do some of the industrialists and bankers. Or number three, your country ceases to be sovereign and it's swallowed by other countries. If the Wall Street Journal is correct, Craig, and the number is a minimum of $87 trillion, their $87 trillion just covers the unfunded liabilities of Social Security and Medicare. That number is no longer $54,000 per capita. That number is a lot larger, isn't it?
You bet. And I got to tell you, that number that you cite from the Wall Street Journal anticipates current interest rates to come up with that calculation. If you allow interest rates to go up 1, 2, 3, 4%, all of a sudden that number starts exploding. That's where you get the over $100 trillion potential.
Yes.
Now
I understand. Okay, because I would agree with you that the actual number, if you look at what the U.S. debt is right now, just the federal debt, not state debt, it is at 87 to 88 trillion dollars. But what that does not take into account is the fact that we have so devalued our currency by inflating the money supply, which we had to do because of our deficits, that it is inevitable that interest rates will go up. They have to go up. It's the law of economics. And when they go up, all of a sudden now we're going to be trying to pay interest on $20 trillion on the actual debt. Because you don't pay interest on the contingent liabilities, but on the actual debt, we'll be paying interest on $20 trillion. And at 10% a year, that's $2 trillion that we add to the debt each year.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've predicted, and I think you have as well, that soon, you know, the biggest driver of our debt right now is Medicare. Second is
Correct.
Think we're soon going to see interest be the largest driver of our debt. Let's say interest rates went to 4 or 5%, which would just be a doubling from where we are now, a little bit more than doubling. You know, you'd have $1 trillion a year in interest payments.
Correct.
And I don't think the American people understand that this hole is getting deeper. And, you know, the old saying, when you're in the hole, what do? First, stop digging, for Pete's sakes. And we're not doing that, Yada. And you know what's amazing to me? This president obviously must be a full-blown Keynesian because he believes we should borrow more. He believes we should spend more, that we can spend our way to prosperity. And I think he's totally misguided.
Well, I think that he is right in the short term, in the sense that in the short term, his presidency looks better economically if we, from a snapshot in time in the moment, if we spend our way to prosperity. The problem is that when you do that, you make the fall more certain, and you make the consequence of the fall much greater. So the strategy will always come back in two forms. One is the fall becomes more certain, death becomes more certain, if you will, and the pain that the country endures during that decline is far harsher. So what he is doing is serving himself, buffing his image, knowing full well that he is destroying the country and its future for its children in the process. We're here with Craig Smith. We will return to discussing the current status of the U.S. economy and how serious our problem is when Chattering Myths returns after the break. To Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Yada. We're here with Craig Smith, who's an expert on the economy. You can reach Craig at buygold.com. Craig, we mentioned a Wall Street Journal article. I'm going to just read one line from that article. This appeared on November 28th of 2012. It reads, "The actual liabilities of the federal government, including Social Security, Medicare, and federal employees' future retirement benefits, already exceeds $87 trillion, which is 550%. Of GDP. For the year ending December 31, 2011, the annual accrued expense of Medicare and Social Security was $7 trillion. That means that last year, when we thought we had a deficit of $1.1 trillion, that we added $1.1 trillion to our debt last year, we didn't. We added $8.1 trillion to our debt last year.
Yeah, isn't it amazing if you put gap accounting to this, you know, generally acceptable accounting practices, you find out that our deficits are far greater than $1 trillion a year. And once again, it's, you know, if they don't tell you the whole story, are they really lying to you? Well, in a politician's mind, that's not a lie. In my mind, Yada, when you don't tell somebody the whole story, you're deceiving them. You're lying to them. And the American people are getting worse off every single year. And it's been on steroids. Look, I wasn't a big fan of George Bush's spending habits. He racked up a huge amount of debt. There's no doubt about it. But when Mr. Obama took over, he put it on steroids, and there doesn't seem to be any end to it, Yada.
No, and matter of fact here, if we're just dealing with a reported number of $16.7 trillion, that's not sustainable. I mean, that will kill us. Now, if we're actually dealing with the other number of $87 to $88 trillion, then it's game over. Then there is, and that's probably the right number, and it's game over. That's not resolvable. Let's talk a little bit about how the United States debt compares to other nations, because we constantly hear of Greece in the news, Italy, Spain, Portugal, Ireland, France, and the UK just had its bond rating downgraded. Let's talk about some nations that are in a world of hurt along with the United States. So the United States aggregate debt, $87 trillion, $284,000 per capita, 551% of the gross domestic product. How does that compare to the UK?
Well, the UK is at 390% from the numbers I have seen, and so I guess you could say England is in better shape than America is, but
not by much.
People have this belief, though, Yada, that we are the best of the worst, and I'm not sure that we are anymore.
I mean, no, we aren't. We really aren't.
Keep in mind, you know, we are the reserve currency of the world. If anything, we should be in a better position to handle it than the other nations.
Yeah, the fact is that
I hate to sound so doom and gloom about it, but you said something earlier that's so important. You said in the short term, Mr. Obama, with his spending, will try and make things look better, and you're absolutely right. But where's the flaw in Keynesian economics? It's man's nature is where the flaw is. Because let's say times were bad and you had to borrow to get through the bad times. Businesses go through that all the time. It's not a big deal. But when things get better, you pay back the money. Well, that's never happened in the Keynesian thought processes. Every time we've needed money to fill the gap, when things got better, we just made the gap bigger. And we've never paid the money back. And so that's why, as you know, because you've read my latest book, The Great Debasement, I'm convinced that we are going to lose our reserve currency status. I believe there's going to be a massive debasement of the currency. And unfortunately, it's people that are listening to this program that haven't taken the proper steps to prepare themselves that are going to be paying for it, not the politicians.
Correct. It is all true. The only hedge that you have against this is gold, and gold does have one potential downside, which is a nation can do what FDR did and try to confiscate your gold at an inappropriately low price. But it is the only hedge that we have against it, and still you're going to be living in a country that's bankrupt.
No doubt. You know what's interesting, Yada? If you look at what's happening in Russia and China right now, I'm sure you've read, you know, James Rickard's book about currency wars, and, you know, they played a little war game in the Pentagon where Russia and China got together, made a big gold deposit in a Swiss bank and started issuing a currency. And all of a sudden, all the nations folded and had to basically say, we surrender to China and Russia. I mean, I don't think we realize that bullets no longer have to take a nation over. We can be taken over with a checkbook.
That's correct. And matter of fact, when you add up the actual debt, the reported debt of the world, the United States is very close to owing more than the rest of the world combined. We are not only the world's most indebted nation, but at $87 trillion, we actually owe more than the rest of the world combined. When we return to Shattering Myths, we'll consider a few other countries as to where they stand economically. And you're going to find those countries that are talked about as failing are in much better shape than we are. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. We're here with Craig Smith, an expert on gold. You can reach him at buygold.com. Craig, I want to go down and speak of the dastardly 13. I hope you're not a Trisodacophobiac. I think there's 13 nations that are going to end up in the same place that we are. It's a matter of whether it is going to occur over 5 years, 10 years, or 15 years. But at the scrap heap of former nations, we're going to find the UK, which owes 390% of its GDP. The Netherlands. The Netherlands is almost in as bad a shape as we are, 344%. you know, France, where they have the union jobs that people don't actually have to work for their wage. France, compared to the United States, France is 182% of GDP in debt, which is less than half of the United States. Greece, you know, how many times have people been screaming about, oh my God, Greece is absolutely bankrupt, they're destitute. Well, how much does Greece actually owe in terms of international debt, Greg?
174% of their GDP, Yada. And you know, as you're going through these numbers, I'm sitting here thinking to myself, I almost feel like this is a skit out of a Monty Python play. It's like, I can't believe we're even dealing with these numbers, Yada.
It is astonishing. And we've done this to ourselves around the world.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because you understand money. I don't think the average person really understands what we're talking about. By any reasonable definition, we have bankrupted America.
And we aren't the only ones that are bankrupting their country. We're going to have some company in our misery. Portugal, which we speak of constantly, over 200% of GDP. Iceland happens to be the worst in the world, not an aggregate amount of debt. It's only $100 billion, but it's $362,000 per capita, 999% of GDP.
And a perfect example of what a socialistic country looks like. They have cradle to grave mentality in Iceland.
Yep. Now, a lot of people will talk about, oh, the wonderful, prosperous economies in Norway, Sweden, Denmark, and Finland. Well, collectively, they owe just shy of $3 trillion. It is over $100,000 per capita. And collectively, those nations are now at 175% to debt as a percentage of GDP. Didn't work there either, did it?
No, it sure didn't.
Italy, which is in the news all the time as being a nation that is in economic disarray. In fact, it had a comedian, a foul-mouthed comedian, that won the second most amount of votes in their most recent election. That's how big a joke Italy has become. 108% of GDP. America is at 550. Spain, which is always in the news. 84% for Spain.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sitting here thinking about it. Now you understand why Minnesota hired Al Franken. I mean,
yes.
We've become a joke.
We have become a joke. You know, Russia, which we always thought, oh, boy, we are so vastly superior to Russia. You know, the United States ego. We're the most prosperous nation on earth. No, we're the most indebted nation on earth. Russia only owes $3,000 per capita. And 23% of GDP. You go down to South America. The most indebted South American nation is Brazil at 15% of GDP, $2,000 a person. How about Central America? You know, we have a tendency to look down at Mexico. Mexico's national debt is only $200 billion. They owe $2,000 per capita, 20% of GDP.
And here's what's really important, Yada. The last three countries that you talked about, Russia, Brazil, and Mexico, just using those three as an example,
mm-hmm.
have one of the lowest debt-to-GDP ratios in the world, lowest per capita what each citizen owes. But why? Because Mexico went through a huge currency devaluation years ago, wiped all that debt off their books, and started over again. Argentina, Venezuela, Brazil all went through currency crises. Destroyed the currencies, wiped out the people, and they started all over again. Russia, when the wall fell and the ruble fell apart and the USSR broke up into the Commonwealth of Independent States that was the former Soviet Union, the people were wiped out. They stood in bread lines, for Pete's sakes. So
now, there's something to think about there, too. The reason that governments, that the elected officials want to give everybody money and incentives to vote for them or to keep them in office. When they do that and people become dependent, then you create these enormous deficits which devalue the currency, which then collapses. And when it collapses, the average person that became dependent upon those handouts is the individual that's hurt most. If you look at Russia, for example, the oligarchs are all billionaires.
Sure.
And so what you end up creating, this socialist mindset, ends up creating a fascist condition.
You bet. And that's a great point that you just made. Keep in mind, if you think the rich get richer and the poor get poorer in America as we are now, let a collapse happen, and you have the super wealthy, as you're talking about, the oligarchs that pay $250
yes.
million dollars to build a boat, and then
yes.
peasants that are literally starving on a daily basis. And see, I think, Yada, what's happened is we think we're America. It could never happen to us. We're too big. Well,
no.
Well, tell that to the British Empire. They used to be the reserve currency of the world. Tell that to the Ottoman Empire or the Roman Empire or the Athenian empires. Empires that fell. Why? Because of debt and devaluation of their currencies.
You know, Rome thought they were pretty hot stuff too, didn't they?
You better believe it.
They collapsed.
And when the denarius was played with and they started debasing the currency, that's why we wrote the book, The Great Debasement. Every one of those falls, Yada, started with a debasement of the currency. And, of course, the latest one was England when they started debasing the pound sterling. They took a little bit of silver each time out of their pound.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, it was worthless.
Yeah. If you look at Rome, it's interesting, particularly with the comments you made about the general at the beginning of the program. Rome had to devalue its currency because it had to pay for a mercenary army. And it bankrupted the country because the average Roman was so conditioned for that army stealing the production of other countries and lavishing on Romans who no longer worked that they created a dependency culture and they couldn't pay for their own defense, and it was their defense that crushed them.
Yeah. Hey, it worked well while all the other nations were paying tribute to Caesar. But the
yes.
fact that they couldn't pay the armies, it became a whole different program, didn't it?
It did. How much did the United States add to its debt in the last 4 years?
Well, the official number is $5.4 trillion. But again, depending upon the accounting that you use, I could argue it's probably closer to $6.1 trillion.
And yeah, I would argue with that if I may. You reported the actual number accurately, but if the Wall Street Journal is correct and that we're adding $7 trillion worth of liabilities every year for Social Security and Medicare, then we actually added $33 trillion in the last 4 years.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point, and I thought we were talking about just the. What we're talking deficit-wise, you're right.
No, your answer was absolutely correct. But the moment you went to general accepted accounting practices, then we really need to speak honestly about this. We added $33 trillion.
No, you're right. And, you know, I was reading John Williams over at Shadow Stats, his numbers in his February report. And my gosh, Yada, I mean, they just, and I think what happens is, you know, like I said, people's eyes gloss over with this. Is there anything that could be done? Yes, there's a lot that could be done. Unfortunately, it's not politically expedient, so don't expect your politicians to do it.
Now, I have a question here. This is a more complex question. I want us to forget for a moment that we actually owe $87 trillion, because if we owe $87 trillion, there is no solution. And we actually do owe it, but there is no way that the United States can pay down $87 trillion in 100 years. It's absolutely impossible. But we could pay down the $17 trillion we have currently in reported debt over 20 years if we reduce the principal by $800 billion a year. But doing that, we would have to reduce the deficit our spending by $1.8 trillion because we're adding over $1 trillion a year. So $1.8 trillion as a percentage of our economy, which right now is about what, $3.5 trillion?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little over 50%, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's why, I hate to sound like a broken record, the numbers don't work anymore, Yada. I mean, we've got to be honest with ourselves. You know as well as I do, throughout history, when you've had debt-to-GDP ratios like we have now, they've been reduced in five very distinct ways, either through economic growth, which I don't see that happening given the way our government operates.
No.
Another way is substantive fiscal adjustment or austerity plans, and we know that the government will never go that direction.
No.
Maybe an explicit default or restructuring of the public and private debt like we saw in the third world nations, or a surprise burst of inflation followed by a steady dose of financial repression, which is equally followed by a steady dose of inflation, and you slowly inflate and print your way out of the debt. But again, all that does is take the money from the people. See, that's why I'm very concerned.
Yes.
You probably heard the talk recently about the $18.1 trillion that are sitting in retirement accounts and how the government wants to take that money from you, give you basically a government annuity that will pay you till the day you die, and take that $18 trillion out to pay off their $16 trillion worth of debt and give them a little bit of room to spare. I would not put it past this president to do an FDR, call a banking holiday, say it's a national crisis for the best interest of your nation. We have to do this.
Yes.
And
yeah,
literally confiscate wealth from people.
I agree. You know, the president in his State of the Union speech a year ago spoke in terms of managing our economy the way that the military is managed, with everybody contributing according to their ability and receiving according to their need. His entire speech on the economy was in the context of command and control, the U.S. military, and which is communism. And this last speech, everything the man said was dishonest. Everything he said was untrue. And so if you put those combination of things together, it is very possible that he would attempt this very thing. The point that I wanted to make, though, is that the only way that we could actually deal with the U.S. deficit and to reduce it over the next 20 years is to reduce the size of federal spending by 50%. By 50%. That they're now talking about, they can't even agree to reduce it by 2%, and we have to reduce it by 50%. And just for a moment, if we were to leave our deficit at this present level, because interest is absolutely going to become our largest expense, we can't survive as a nation with our deficit at its present level. We either reduce it, or we are as good as dead.
I'm laughing because it's keeping me from crying right now.
We'll be back with Craig Smith after the commercial break. It is always a pleasure to speak with someone who knows this much about something, unfortunately, that is this sad. To Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Yada. We're here with Craig Smith. Craig Smith is the founder and the chairman of Swiss America. You can reach him at buygold.com. His latest book is called The Great Debasement. I would strongly encourage you to read it. I have done so. It is is really a godsend in terms of understanding the current conditions of our economy and how we got into this mess. Craig, we were talking here a bit about the nature of our deficit and the fact that if we do not eliminate our debt, not just stop adding to it, that we are not sustainable as a nation because of what the interest rates are soon going to become the single greatest expense for the U.S. government. If we were actually dealing not with the $16.7 trillion, but with the $88 trillion, if we were to cut government spending to zero, you know how long it would take us to pay it down, to pay it off?
I can't imagine. 20, 30 years, I would think it.
Yeah, that's right. 35 years. You'd have no way to enforce your collection, mind you, and you'd be providing zero services, and it would still take 35 years to pay it off.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Otto, when I sit with you and go through these numbers, which I know you've done your homework extensively, I just wish we were having the same type of conversation that you and I are having in Congress. Now, in fairness, there has been some of it with men like Paul Ryan and others.
Yeah.
Think about it. They're demagogued to death. They're made to look like idiots. They're made to look like they're so far behind the curve. They're old-fashioned.
Correct.
And as a direct result of it, the politicians are going to continue to kick the can down the road. I just don't think they believe that a day of reckoning is coming. And unless they can change the course of history, we do have a day of reckoning coming, Yada.
Correct. And as a matter of fact, I have put that day of reckoning, I thought, was between 15 and 20 years out, and you've stated that you think it's closer to 10 years out. I want to make it very clear. I can't speak for you here, but I will speak for myself. I'm not having this conversation with you because I think that America can resolve this problem. I'm having it with you because I know America cannot and will not resolve the problem. So I want our listeners to be as prepared as they can be individually. The reality is, Craig, that this conversation we're having doesn't need to be in Congress today. It needed to be in Congress 20 years ago.
No, you're absolutely right. We're past the point of no return, and that's why several years ago I started on a trilogy of books. It started with Crashing the Dollar. It went into The Inflation Deception, where I explained how inflation works, and completed it with our recent book, The Great Debasement, which, by the way, you can read about The Great Debasement at the website, thegreatdebasement.com. And occasionally there's a free button there. If you hit it, you can actually order a copy of the book free. They pay the postage and everything. But I wrote them because Melissa and I, my wife of 35 years, we sat down one day and God, I think you know this, and I know this about you. We've pretty much taken care of our future. I'm sure we're going to be able to survive all of this because we've seen it coming. I almost feel, if you will, like an evangelist now. I've got to wake America up to realize we can't fix this problem. It's not fixable. Right. They can play the games all day right. long. They can, you know, go back and forth. You are going to get hurt. It's no different than if somebody is starving to death and right. their children are starving to death and you've got 10 pounds of beef. You better yes. be ready to die for that beef or they're going to come take it from you. Well, that's what the government's going to do, but not in with guns and everything. They're going to do it with bank accounts. For Pete's sakes, all they yeah. have to do, Yada, is create an internet crisis tomorrow, and you have no access to your money.
Now, the one thing that is actually just about all of this is the people who are going to be hurt the worst are those people who contributed the most to the problem. Those who voted money for themselves by taking money that other people have earned and that have become dependent upon the government, those individuals will be hurt the most. So there is a little bit of justice in all of this, but unfortunately they're going to take everyone down with them.
Sure, but think about it also, though. Let's take the average Joe six-pack who's worked yes. hard, put a little bit of money away, has played by the rules and paid his taxes. You're right. He won't be as hurt as bad as the guy that depended on the government for everything. But he's going to be wiped out. He's going to start back at zero again. And this
is correct.
That he paid his taxes. He saved. He did what his parents say. Look, put money away for a rainy day. You know, don't go out and buy the big screen today. Put off those pleasures today to be prepared for tomorrow. We have this eat, drink, and be merry mentality in America, and don't give a hoot about tomorrow. What is that saying to our children and our grandchildren? Have we become that self-centered of a nation that we're
yes.
not willing to sacrifice? Terrible.
Yes. We have been. Can the deficit, speaking of sacrifice, can the deficit be reduced by additional tax increases on the most successful wage earners?
You know, I guess that is one of the most laughable parts of the Obama administration. And that is the answer, simple answer is no. If you took 100% of the top 1% of America, you wouldn't even balance the budget, no less pay off the debt.
Correct. And we have history both through FDR's failure and the Laffer curve deployed during the Reagan years to demonstrate that we actually would take in less money if we continue to raise the taxes on the most successful Americans. We'll be back with Craig Smith and Shattering Myths after the break.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that...